Buddy, my name is Yu Ching. For those of you who don't know me, but when I look at the room, I actually know ha more than half of the people here from different stages of my not so long life. So yeah, as Pastor Chu said, I was a student here. I attended the Friday night Bible study with them for 2 years while I was a student here, and then. After I graduated, I went back to Richmond, went back to the church that I grew up in, which is the church that I'm a part of now, is also the church that Pastor Chu pastored for many years when I was a youth there. And then a couple of you are my, I guess, former youth group students when I graduated and went back to do youth ministry. And then some of you I know from the young adult ministry within my current church, and then some of you I know from my former Bible study days here at UVA. But it's great to be here. Thank you all for the opportunity for me to come and share. In fact, actually, this is my second time sharing about Mexico mission trip. I was here actually not too long ago in the spring. But I don't think all of you were here, so hopefully this is not like a repeat. I do have a couple more new takeaways. So hopefully this is not a repeat of what I've already shared. Okay, so talking about the Mexico City mission trip, wanted to first share some context and then talk about at a super high level what we did there. So we went to Mexico City in the summer in July of this year. And in case you didn't know where Mexico City is, it is right here, sort of like in the middle of Mexico, and this is the United States. So this is where Mexico is relative to where we are. And then so this is our team. So there's a team of nine of us, all coming from GCBCR, led by Pastor Lee right here, and then this is his wife, Mrs. Lee. They actually earlier this year, they actually moved to Northern Virginia, but they still felt a great sense of, I guess, burden for this work in Mexico City. So even though they left the church, they moved to a different place, but they still wanted to go back, and they still wanted to partner with our church, and so they formed a team of all nine of us, and we went together. So there's that. All right, a little bit about Mexico City, or known as La Ciudad de Mexico. That's the one Spanish phrase that I learned there. Even though I took Spanish in high school, my Spanish is not very great anymore. But yeah, it is the capital of Mexico, and this is actually, to my surprise, it is the most populous city in North America. Not New York City, actually. Mexico City is the populous city of North America. There's a lot of people, 9.2 million city population. But then when you look at the entire metropolitan area of Mexico City, they've got 22 million people. I think New York has maybe like 20 million metropolitan. So New York is the second largest, but Mexico City is the largest, city. And then you can see some of like the landscape of the city. The city is really interesting. There are some really like historic parts of it because, when like the Europeans came, they did a lot of things there. And so a lot of these structures, these buildings, these statues, they were created, or built, hundreds of years ago. So there's really historical parts of the city, but then there's also very modern parts of the city. You see these skyscrapers. If you're in that area, it just looks like any other modern city. But then there's also very rural and poor parts of the city, where even like the roads that you drive on don't have like concrete paving or anything like that, just dirt. And so depending on where you are in the city, it's a huge city. Depending on where you are, you can see very, very different things. And there are people living all kind, like, very different kinds of lives. And it's actually 82% Catholic. I don't think that's surprising to many people because we know that Latin America, it is predominantly Catholic, but their Catholicism, it's not real Catholicism in that they're mixed with a lot of their like folk religions. And so like they worship a lot of weird random gods who are not God and Jesus Christ. So even though they are 82% Catholic, but it is still a city that is very lost. So within this mammoth of a large city, we focus, there's a small group of people called the Chinese. And that's the group that we focused on. And I say small, not because the actual population itself is small, but because compared to 22 million, it is a relatively small population. But the population itself, I think it's been growing really, really rapidly in the past 3 to 5 years, especially after COVID. The first year I went, they were telling me, we have no, there's no official census, by the way. But the first year I went, they would tell me, oh, like we have about 30,000 people. And then that number, every year I go back, keeps on going up. So until this year, this summer when I went, and I asked, okay, so how many people are there? How many Chinese people are there now? And they were telling me, like, oh, like probably like 100,000, 200,000. So there's a lot of Chinese people who have immigrated or moved to Mexico City over the past few years. Now you may wonder, like, what are Chinese people doing in Mexico City out of all places? The answer is, for the most part, they're doing small businesses there. So China produces a lot of like small merchandise, like stationeries, small electronic accessories, those kind of things. China produces them, a lot of them, mass production, and they produce them really cheaply. And in Mexico, there's a huge market for such items. And so a lot of the Chinese people, as you can see, these are like some stores that we've visited. You can see like, selling clothes, just random things. So they open small stores there, and locals love it, and they go and they buy those things imported from China. And so there, a lot of the Chinese people there, they're doing business there, trying to make money. And so our mission was to reach the Chinese people in the city. It is truly harvest is plentiful, but workers are a few situation in Mexico City. Because while there are hundreds of thousands of Chinese people, and that number is growing, there's only, I think, two to three Chinese churches, and they're very small. We worked, so we actually partnered with one of the Chinese churches there. They have about 60 to 100 people. And then another Chinese church there, slightly larger, I think they have maybe 150 people. So altogether, you're talking about Chinese churches with a couple hundred people. Well, there's hundreds of thousands of Chinese out there. And really, Chinese churches in Mexico City, they're the best avenue for us to reach those Chinese people, because they go there. They don't speak the language. They don't really interact with any locals. They're just there. They know what they're doing. They're just there to make money. They're not really there living life. They're just making money. Yeah, Chinese churches would, if we want to share the gospel with them, would be the best avenue. But there's really not a lot of Chinese churches, and so these people are all lost, and there's nobody reaching out to them. And so one of the focuses of our mission team is to go, and we would go out into the marketplace, smaller teams, and then we would go and visit those stores, and try to share the gospel with them. We have gospel pamphlets that we would pass out to them, and then we would also have like some information of the Chinese church that we were partnering with. We would tell them, hey, like, there's a home away from home. Come and join us for worship and, for different kinds of activities. So that's what one of, oh, and this picture right here is a Bible study that Pastor Lee and wife ran one of the, I think one of the days we were there. And a lot of these people who came, they're like seekers, they're not non-Christians, and a lot of them actually only very recently immigrated. I don't know if immigration is actually the right word, but they recently moved to Mexico City. And so like they're really hearing the gospel for, the very first time, and they were very attentive, and I thought Pastor Lee gave a really, really well articulated sermon, and sharing the gospel with them. So Yeah, and these are just pictures of us or our team visiting different stores. So there's that. We focused on the adults, but then this year, a new thing that we did was is we also focused on children. So we went and we ran a VBS, Vacation Bible School. Raise your hand if you guys have ever attended a Vacation Bible School. Yes, I have many, many, many years as a kid and as a youth volunteering. So yeah, so we did this because we wanted to focus on the children there as well. This is the first time actually the church that we partnered with did a VBS. And so a part of our goal was to, yes, one, run this VBS for this one time, but also just show the church how do you put together a children's program for kids to learn about Jesus. So, we did the very, we did all the VBS things. We had games, and then, praise and worship time, Bible study, and then we also did crafts. That's Auntie Kathy right there in the picture of you. Guys didn't know. So yeah, so that was that. I think for me, the VBS is similar to what we would run here in the US, but one thing that's slightly different is that we were very intentional in sharing the gospel. So not beyond just running the programs themselves, we looked for opportunities to sit down with kids one-on-one, actually share the gospel in full with them. The team actually, before we actually went through months of training on how do you share the gospel with kids, because it's a different thing to, share the gospel with adults is one thing, but to share with kids, you have to use different, type of language in order for them to understand. So yeah, so here are some more pictures of all the kids that we worked with. It's not a huge group of kids, but it allowed us to be able to focus on each and every one of them. A couple of them did accept Jesus Christ when we share the gospel with them. So really praise God for that. So yeah, just some pictures of the kids. Actually, another thing I wanted to mention is that because we don't speak Espanol, we can't really communicate, with the kids in Espanol, in Spanish. But actually, a lot of these kids, they grew up in China and they only recently moved to Mexico City. So we were able to communicate fine with them, in Mandarin Chinese for the most part. And that's actually a very different thing. In Mexico than in the US is that like a lot of the kids they're not like as like many of us, they're not like fully integrated into the community there. One thing because their parents aren't, and two, because a lot of them are like very recent immigrants to Mexico. They grew up in China. The culture there is just very different. In America, you immigrate here, which it's an immigration country, you immigrate here with the goal of like integrating yourself into the society and becoming a part of the society. Whereas the Chinese people in Mexico City, a lot of them have in their mind, oh, we're only here temporarily. We're not going to stay here forever. We don't see ourselves having a life here forever. Our next, step in life is either to, after we've made enough money, we move back to China, or if possible, we want to go to the United States at some point. And so they don't, and for that reason, they're not like, when you interact with them, they're like very Chinese. They don't feel like a local Mexican kid. So there's that. Hope I don't know how much time more time I have. And then in addition to going out into the market and running VBS, we also did some church programs for the church so that the pastor there can take a break. So this is one Sunday worship that we were doing, literally the worship time for, and Pastor Lee gave the sermon. And then they also helped run a bunch of Bible studies, just so that the leader, the pastor at the church, can take a break and relax. So yeah, there's that. All right, I think next I'll go into. Oh, actually, no, I have two more slides before I go into my takeaways. Yeah, and then we had great time fellowshipping with the brothers and sisters in the church. And so picture here is in the morning, we did morning devotions as a as a mission team. And then this is a pic. This picture here. Can you guys guess what we're doing here in this picture? Can you guys see? Anybody can guess? What is this? Why is everybody sitting on the floor? So this is actually a prayer meeting. So that's like how they do prayer meetings. A lot of the brothers and sisters at the church, they're just so eager for the Lord, and they're so on fire, and they so desire to just be in a close relationship with Him. And you see that being demonstrated in even just the way that they do their prayer meetings. You know, it's well attended, and then usually how they do it is like we each get a mat, and then we're on the floor, and when we actually go into the time of prayer, people like kneel, and then they pray together. So that's the posture of, like, you know, wanting to draw near to God and just be in His presence and acknowledging, you know, how magnificent He is. And so we position ourselves accordingly. And then, yeah, and then another picture, that's the last night that we were there. We went out and ate. They treated us to a really, really nice meal in the end. Speaking of that, actually, there's a lot of great food in the city. Of course, I have to have a food slide here. Because there's a lot of Chinese people there. There's actually a lot of great Chinese restaurants. You would never expect to find something in a city like Mexico City. But yeah, there's a lot of great Chinese food, and very authentic, because a lot of the Chinese restaurants there, they don't, like, their goal is not the, like, to serve the locals. Because locals usually, they don't like Chinese. Like, you know, things like Panda, or sorry, they don't like Chinese food or authentic Chinese food. But because there's a huge Chinese population there, a lot of these restaurants, they're able to tailor to that population. And so they have really authentic Chinese food. There's a lot of people, Chinese people there, they're from the Guangdong province, and then Fujian province. And so there's this is Guangdong, Canto food. And then we went to, somebody from the church invited us to their house and cooked us a full homemade Guangdong meal. And then we also had some, these are tacos and sandwiches, if you can't recognize. But yeah, we had great food. I think I gained several pounds there, even though I was on the mission field working hard. You gained 3 pounds, or
you have 3 minutes.
Oh, sorry. Okay, I gotta quickly breeze through. Sorry. Okay, takeaway. So my first takeaway is God works and grows the church, and I'm so blessed to have been a witness. I've alluded to this. I've been 3 times. This year was my 3rd year going, and I just want to say it's so amazing, the change, the transformation that the church went through in the past 3 years. When I first went, they were a church that really was struggling a little bit. The pastor, the leaders, they were tired. And financially, I don't think they were like in the best spot, and they were like lacking leaders. They don't have enough people to serve their church. But then fast forward to this past year when we went back, things have really changed. Financially, they're in a much better place. They have more people attending the church, and they've found more people to serve in different capacity at the church. And so God has really grown the church. And I think the best thing that a short-term mission trip can do when you go to a city is not to, you know, because you're only there for such a short period of time. Like, you want to share the gospel, good, but you can't really share to that many people, and you can't really follow up. So the best thing is to really work with a local church and to build them up to a point where they can be there in the community and be a light and salt for Jesus. And so it's not that we did really much, but it's just amazing to see how God has grown the church over the past few years. And they continue to grow. I was talking with Auntie Kathy today in the car, and she was saying how they're actually now like planning to build their own building, because right now, actually, no. So they're planning to build a new bigger building because they've been growing. So praise God. And then second takeaway, this sounds like a cliche, but people are in need of Jesus. This is a verse from John 4, where Jesus is talking to the Samaritan woman. Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." When I was there and I was just talking to adults, talking to kids, one theme that constantly came up to me was just, oh man, like these people, I don't know. They're living in darkness. They're living in so much need. The adults I talk to, a lot of them, they've just immigrated to this country, and they don't really have a community, and they don't really know anything in life but just to make money and to get, I guess, get status. And so for them, that's their whole life. And they work like 6 to 7 days a week, right, without rest. And they don't really have a community. And so they come to church seeking that community. And then when I talk to the kids, even the kids, actually a lot of them come from really broken families. They have parents who are separated, or they have parents who they don't really know where their parents are. So they live with their grandparents. And so it's a lot of, I guess, suffering and struggle in their life. And when I was talking to them, I was just thinking to myself, oh man, like only if they knew Jesus Christ, only if they know that they have this heavenly Father who cares for them, who is able to give them abundant life, that this life in earth that they're like struggling to get things in is not the end, and is not the only thing, that there is something that's much better out there, that I was really feeling that, oh, only if they knew, it would be so great. And then the last takeaway is more for us, a self-reflection for me. We are so blessed to be in the U.S. and should consider how we can share the blessings God has given us with others. So a passage from Luke here, everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required, and from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand the more. So it's a challenge I want to give to all of us. You know, we live here in the U.S. You know, we have a lot of struggles, I know, but oftentimes we have our struggles, but we also have so much, and sometimes we don't know that until we go out there and just compare how much we have with others in other countries. And so really, we are a group of people who have been blessed by God, and he's given us so much. So let us all think about how can we take all the resources that we have and serve God and bless other people with it. Mexico City is only, so Pastor Lee, the pastor that we worked with, that's only one place that he, one of several places in Latin America that he sees the need and sees the need for mission. And there are other countries like Colombia and Bolivia, I think, where there are even more needs. There are a lot of Chinese people there, and they're all lost, and there's no churches there. And so there's just so many opportunities out there. So I encourage all of you to keep your eyes open and to keep your heart open to respond to opportunities when they come up, so that you can all go and serve the Lord with what he's blessed you with. Cool. Sorry.
Nice.
Yep. Let's turn to some pictures.
Some pictures. Thank you, Yuqing. Actually, this is my first Mexico mission trip. And I'm so thankful we have the opportunity to share my experience over there. And Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and then to the end of the earth. Lord Jesus commanded us to bring gospel to the end of the earth. And then this a great commission to, for every Christian. So, it's our response to his love. And then the short-term mission trip, I mean, this for me, it's, to help me, it's not about serving others. And then, that's a precious opportunity for me to encounter God and then to have the spirits for grow Holy Spirit in myself and then deepen my love for God and people. And then, so coming to Mexico City, I was stuck by the change and the opportunity. Before, you know, Yuqing been there like 3 times. And that's my first time. I heard a lot of things over there, but when I first got there, it's nice, quite. This feel like my little hometown when I was in China. And the city has, like Yuqing said, 22 million people, and the Chinese population definitely is growing. But there's a very shepherds there, like, and then the church seems very important. It's like a lighthouse and this refuge and for the center of gospel. I mean, there's a lot of people there, but they have less opportunity to to hear the truth and God's words. So this short mission trip, we have a full schedule. And Wednesday, we have a prayer meeting. Friday, Saturday, this is a Bible study. You saw that there's some pictures there. And then, so Sunday, we have worship led by Pastor Lee, and then followed by a worship meeting after lunch. That's like a whole day. And then every meeting, Pastor Lee will give an altar call. And there's always people respond, I'm going to believe. And then, so this is very, very touching. And believers and seekers, they're being rooted in the truth. The short mission team, we come not only host the VBS, we also participate other mission ministries as well. So after we left, Pastor Lee as a wife is stay there and to follow up with the new believers and the seekers, and then ensuring that the fruit of missions continues. They both of them work so hard. And then the 10 days missions, we was tense and fulfilling. Every day we prepare license, the VBS material we got is in English, and then we need to speak Chinese to the kids, and then we need to translate the material, and then we need to rehearsal the testimony. We also, each one of us gave a testimony, and then we also have we're a priest team. So hoping we are to try the best, hope we can offer our best to the Lord during the mission trip. So even though they're physically tired, but spiritually full, definitely full of joy. My, like Yuqing said, my main responsibility in Mexico City's mission trip was VBS children's craft. There's one child, it's 14 years old. It's giving me most impression. His name is Brian, and he's a local boy. He, even he's young, but he's very smart and responsible. And he's my helper, but I feel like more than, and it's not only helped me to prepare the crafts, and then so gave great suggestions. One time the material was like a fail. It's not what we expected, but he come up the solution right on the spot. He said, we can do it on our own. We can draw and cut the template, and there's a makeup over 10 of them. So next day, the children, we have enough material to do next day's craft. And then, so he even bring some stuff from home, the sparkling some decorations and the flowers and leaves to make our crafts materials, richer our crafts material. So even he's only young. He's also told me he gets almost a perfect score to enter the best college, best middle school, high school, the local high school, the best high school. So I'm just proud of him. And I asked the kids, I let the kids call him Big Brother Brian. I truly feel like he's a special helper. And in him, I saw the church's future and the hope of the local church. Brian, it has another girl, it really touched me with her name's Ying Ying. She's slightly a few years older than Brian. And originally, she's not a regular churchgoer. And her parents been praying for her for a long time. And then, because of the sudden needs, and she was invited to help us mission trip. And then she played pianos, and then she help us practicing, and even she's voluntarily do the translate for us during the VBS. One of the children, she's only speaks Spanish, so she's become her personal translator. And that's so great. But towards the end, she's the one spend the most time with us serving God, and it's really, I'm really impressed that the God has been used her wonderfully. And so during this process, Ying Ying and Brian and the two youth of and also Yuqing, they'll become the best friend, close friends. And seeing those youth they grow, and that just make me feel like gratitude. And that's my takeaways. And then Mexico City Church has changed gradually. I mean, from what I heard, what I see from recent years. And most people, well, more people participate and more co-workers. And then there's a lot of many new immigrants and including some undocumented ones. So coming to seek help and hope, church definitely gave them a lot help and hope. And then God's word transforming hearts. We can see the changing from by talking to them. And then Pastor Lee and his wife and their labors delicately and then they present. The Holy Spirit is real and evidence. Mm-hmm. So their passion can definitely encourage me to want to do more of this trip, mm-hmm. This missionary work. Mm-hmm. And then through this Mexico mission trip, I saw God raising up the local young people and the brothers and sisters and build his own church. And after we returned, and Pastor Lee's wife stayed, and then so he also gave us some encouraging updates. And then Preacher Wu, he's the leader, and his wife has been leading the church for 10 years. And then they are expecting their second child. And they have a 60 years old girl, and then there's going to be a boy. And the Mexico City Church, they save enough money, enough fun to start building a new church in a very good location. That's what Pastor Lee's wife updated from her after she came back from Colombia. So this mission trip brought us abundant blessing for me. And this it makes me think we give time and energy into God's hand, and we received the love, caring from a team member, from local church, and from God. So every day, we our teams pray together, we do devotion together, and in the morning, and they serve during the day. And during the evening, we review what's going on today, and it's good and bad, and then we go adjust the plan for the next day, and then carry out the schedule faithfully. So even the every day is like a busy and with a tight schedule, we full of joy. That's the joy and the peace and the happiness that's been around with us during this trip. We can definitely, I feel like, experience God's presence. I encourage everyone, this I want to share some my experience. I also encourage brothers and sisters participate in the mission trip when you have the chance, because God is faithful. He gave us abundant life. All people receive hearts for missions from the Lord and then empowered by Holy Spirit and then bring the gospel to the people around us and then to the end of the earth. For when the gospel is preached to all nations, and we just heard this from one of the passages, the day of the Lord's return draw near. And then, so my mission trips start, I feel like start from here. And then this is the first time I reach out and give passive flyers. And then this is my third mission trip. I'm so graceful. It can be part of the mission trip. And then since God gave the opportunity for his grace and God for brother and sister, pray for us and then your support. Maybe all glory go to God. Thank you.
And then maybe you can guys think about it. My question is, why do you go on the mission trip the first time? I mean, following time would be easier because you've been there, you know? And why do you want to go in the first time to go the mission trip? Either one of you, but both of you can share.
Okay, so my first time international mission trip was, I think I shared here also, is the Paris Olympic trip. I don't think it's from me, and it's God's pure God blessing. And it's like a personal, selfishly, my son decided to go. Someone invited him. And then I was thinking I should go, shouldn't go, since he decided, and I definitely want to go. And then just make it. And then I'm so glad I went. And
great. Thank you.
I think for me, so Mexico isn't my first mission trip, but the first time I went on Mexico mission trip is because Pastor Lee's wife just asked me because they knew that they were going to go and work with young people. Like, there's youth in the church that they wanted somebody from the mission team to be able to work like with them. And so they asked, and since at the time I did youth ministry, so they asked me. I prayed about it because I don't know if I wanted to take my PTO and go on a mission trip. Honestly, I wasn't sure, but I prayed about it, and I just felt like God telling me, hey, it's I felt like even though it was Mrs. Lee asking me, it was like God asking me. And so I just said, okay, God, I'll go. Yes. And I'll go out there and see what Christianity is like in other parts of the world. And maybe that will spark more interest to do something more long-term in the future. So, yeah.
Nobody asked me, but I volunteered. But because my son.
The Lord asked you to, just okay. in a different form.
Any other questions that you want to take the opportunity to ask about the short-term mission? So how long is the trip?
10 days. 10 days, a week and a half. So we were there for 2 weekends plus the weekdays in between.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yuqing and I. Oh,
question.
Yeah, go ahead.
What was your biggest challenge for this particular trip? And for those who haven't been on a mission trip before, how do we better prepare for a trip like this?
I will get this one. Actually, I wrote on my notes, but I forgot to say it. The environment, Mexico City, the picture looked so good, but the air, the water, and then the noisy, there's nothing compared to what we have here. So, but it won't stop. The mission is going. You just have this kind of expect. You're thinking we do this for God, and then this the environment is not it's not that important. That's definitely the problem, the hard situation is there. We can't deny it. But like I shared, you know, no regrets. It's like that's like a joy, and peace is always with us. Even this situation, environment is not that great always. Sometimes can be scary also.
And to add on to that, I think another thing is, I mentioned that like one of the things that we did there was we went out into the market, right, and like to talk to people. So I mean, these are pictures of people these are pictures showing like people who are willing to talk to us. But like for the most part, like 99% of the time, like they're busy working. They don't want to talk to us, right? So like we go to them. And they're like, oh, like you have something to leave? Like, just leave it there and just go on with your way. Like, so they don't want to talk to us. They're not interested in this Christianity. So I think one of the biggest challenges, like being turned down and like feeling discouraged. Like I'm out here like all day long and like not a single person wants to engage in a gospel conversation. We invite them to church the following Sunday. Nobody really showed up. And so like, you know, that sense of discouragement, like, is my work here really like having any impact? But that's also a great opportunity for us then to really turn to God and say, God, I can't do anything. I'm just here fulfilling what you've called me to do, and I leave everything into your hand.
Any other question? We sort of kind of live in a bubble. You know, and sometimes we don't even know what is our community like. You know, we live in the UVA bubble. We live in the Chinese bubble, you know, in the Chinese church. I think for short-term mission, at least you step out. You see, hey, you know, this is very different. even though you're still in the Chinese community, but you step out. This is not like North America. Mm-hmm. This is not like Richmond. This is not like Charlottesville or Nova. And I think that's good because God works, not just mm-hmm. in our bubble. Mm-hmm. God works outside of our bubbles. And so I want to encourage you guys to continue to engage with people really you're not so familiar with. You're not so familiar with. And that's why we want to, for this Thanksgiving, if any of you staying in Charlottesville, you're welcome to come to our home. We're going to have a Thanksgiving meal together. But before we have the meals, we want to go out and visit the homeless people in Charlottesville. You know where they are? Sometimes it's hard to find one. Maybe on campus, you guys see people just sit on the ground, you know, looking for handouts. But there is a lot of these homeless people who live in their own tent, you know, and just to engage them, because most of the time these people are invisible to Charlottesville. People don't want to see them, or people see them but they don't see them. You know, so we want to go out and engage with them. And usually if you bring gifts to them, they will give you their ears, you know, and then you say, can we pray with you? And just engage in conversations. And then you begin to see, you know, God really works, not just among us. God is out there. And so I think short-term mission trip give you that experience.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you don't have to go that far. I mean, like I said, you know, there's plenty of places in Charlottesville that you can engage. So is there going to be any future trip? Mexico City?
Likely. And then also in Colombia and Bolivia. I know, Pastor, you're going to go
on. I signed up to go to Colombia next year. I think in August. Mm. In August.
For how long?
Huh?
For how long?
10 days. You know, I think Pastor Lee wants me to stay longer, but my wife needs me at home. No, we go on 10 days. It's about generally the short-term mission trip. Uh-huh. 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
And just to see what's it like,
mm-hmm.
you know, in other places. So we'll continue to come back, and then we have worship. It's good to be back to see all of you. It's good to be back. Let's pray, and then we can dismiss you.